Good morning. Buenos dias. Very good. I love to witness cultural competency at its best, and it exists in this room. Thank you, Duane, for that kind introduction. And I want to acknowledge not only my colleague, Javier, but also the amazing work of our project officer on this campaign, Alan Jansen, and the seminal work of Dr. Vincent Covello of the Risk Communication Center at Columbia University. Today, we want to look at some preliminary results in relation to our formative research in developing a culturally based model for risk communication that will prove to be invaluable in developing health messages that will be effective in dealing with H1N1 and also seasonal influenza. HMA out of Washington, D.C. is a communications firm that specializes in multicultural health campaigns. And we have been instrumental in being able to execute this particular research in relation to being cognizant of the fact that Latinos are very diverse. And there is no monolithic particular model that we can look at. And so it was important to consider, you know, how is that difference going to actually impact the way that Latinos perceive health messages in relation to uptake for the H1N1 vaccine? And what can we learn from that in terms of not only their delivery channels, but what messages will resonate well with the community? We know that Hispanics are different, not only in terms of their demographics, but also we also know that there was a stigma that developed within at least the Mexican community because of the early outbreak in Mexico, and even within this country, the early outbreak we saw in Southern California and Texas, two regions that represent large regions with a significant proportion of Latinos. We also knew that the potential to be able to have the virus spread was great when we consider the transitory patterns that we see within Latinos, specifically within migrant and seasonal workers. And then we didn't know to what extent the Latino community was impacted because that surveillance doesn't exist in that kind of breakout. But we did know to what extent there was an uptake within the seasonal flu in relation to the BRFSS that showed that Latinos were really not necessarily covered to a large extent as we would hope. Only about 22% of Latinos in this country were covered according to this particular survey and the surveillance. And the unfortunate part is that only 19 states in the US actually participated in the surveillance. And of those 19 states, only 5 of them actually are states with a critical mass of Latinos. So we don't know the full picture. And when we consider that states like Arizona, Colorado, New York, and Florida weren't participating in the surveillance, that means we have a huge knowledge gap. And so we need to do more in terms of being able to understand what the uptake is, understand how the messages can be developed for Latinos specifically, and what delivery channels are necessary. So in relation to our methodology, we understand that there are ways of being able to subgroup or segment the Hispanic community based on level of acculturation, based on language preference, based on media outlet preference, based on their own exposure to mainstream populations, and even to what extent they are geographically isolated. And oftentimes, unfortunately, that often has more of an impact in terms of how messages resonate for them than even how many years they have been in this country or whether they were foreign-born. So if they don't have exposure to populations outside of the Hispanic community, there's a real impact in terms of who they're willing to believe and how they're willing to uptake in the vaccine. In our research, we had 6 focus groups in 3 different areas, the LA, Miami, and Greenville. We wanted to make sure that we went to rural areas, we wanted to make sure we went to urban areas, we wanted to make sure that we had a representation of the Mexican community, the Puerto Rican community, Central Americans, and South Americans. We also know because of the recommendations and who were heavily impacted in relation to young people that we needed to be very cognizant of recruiting young people into the focus groups. And when we consider that the Latino community is very young overall, with about 38% of the entire Latino population in this country being under the age of 18, we know that the impact could be great in relation to the way this virus could play out. In terms of the development of the risk communication model, there were four major goals of this of risk communication, everything from enhancing knowledge and understanding to building trust and credibility, encouraging dialogue, encouraging the development of appropriate attitudes, decisions, and behaviors. So the way we broke up the model, that we had to consider not only in terms of what theories are out in the literature and how the model has been able to be developed for particular health messages, which we actually did a great deal of research in the literature, but also we understood that what was missing from the literature was to what extent we could actually look at a specific cultural group or ethnic group and integrate values that are important to the population. So we know that there's a lot of research out there that says, you know, culture matters. But to actually take the values that are important to a culture and integrate them into what we consider the risk perception model and then the health belief model, that was missing from the literature. So what you're seeing here are some real preliminary results, but also some almost what I would say is revolutionary thinking in terms of being able to create messages based on a model that really takes culture into account. Hopefully you can see that, because it's pretty complicated. Fortunately, Yvonne, my colleague from HMA, is in the back handing out copies of the model. So for those of you who can't see it too clearly, we'll get it in a second. But basically, under the risk perception model, people respond to risk based on how they perceive the risk. And so there are a variety of factors, whether it be an issue of fairness, whether it be an issue of benefits, whether an issue of dread or a catastrophe. If people really see themselves at risk, they're more likely to act. But when we factor in the cultural values that include everything from a sense of family being important to Latinos, to gender roles, that we know that machismo and marianismo, machismo being very much acculturated into something that is masculine oriented versus marianismo, which is often a value that is true for traditional women who believe that women need to be able to cope, to suffer, like the Virgin Mary. Marianismo, Maria, and that would be an important factor to consider in the development of this prism that filtered out the perceptions. The other thing that's important to consider in this particular model is that acculturation has a huge impact, and we know the literature supports that, that the more acculturated Latinos are, the less healthy they are. Okay, it's a question of exposure to or access to healthy eating, exposure to processed foods, unfortunately, a huge impact. I was just in Puerto Rico and I was absolutely shocked. I hadn't been there in 5 years. And along all the beaches, all we see are all these fast food chains all throughout. And when we consider that 38% of Puerto Ricans in the island now are obese, there's a real issue. That impacts issues of diabetes, right? And we also know that within the Latino community, we are disproportionately impacted with diabetes. And I noticed by our earlier presenters, Brooke, that you have diabetes as one risk factor to consider. So what was interesting is that as we started formulating the questionnaire for the focus groups, we took into account these particular values, we took into consideration the perceptions and wove those as part of the questions. So we wanted to see to what extent more acculturated individuals, for example, Cubans who might be here longer, might trust the vaccine uptake message. And what we found was really interesting, that acculturation does have a huge impact in terms of the belief that there's a risk of H1N1 infection, and more importantly, whether or not they will actually trust the government in actually taking the vaccine, and also who is going to deliver the message. So if it actually came from government sources, they were less likely to believe it. And what we also found was that doctors themselves at some of the communities were encouraging the patients not to be vaccinated, and they said, just wait. And I see a lot of heads going, that sounds like my community. So it's probably, and we're gonna see it, I think, because I already talked to Ivan, that it was very true in their study in relation to the African-American community. So there are some similarities. To go into more detail in terms of the results, I'm going to turn it over to Javier.
Just to go over the results, actually, we found very interesting findings. They're just really preliminary ones. You can see what we have divided it is the common finding between the acculturated and acculturated. Then we have actually looked at some of the similarities or differences between both of those groups. And for example, on trust, when we're looking at the perception risk, do you really trust government? Do you really trust the vaccine? All of them, in general, actually portray the distrust of the vaccine and government, and have a high regard for the doctors, actually, to be influencers on the message. But if you look at that less acculturated, they will actually vaccinate only, for example, North Carolina, they will only get the vaccine to the children because they perceive that to be at risk, at chronic. So they will take that, but they will not take the vaccine themselves. In Los Angeles and Miami, the unacculturated Latinos, even though they knew about the risk, they will not even actually vaccinate their children or their family. And that's probably mainly because of the social context where they live. They have more of a social support. They have more of an established community, whereas in North Carolina, it is actually an emergent one. So there is a lack of social support or social networks, if you will. The more acculturated parents knew about the vaccine, knew about the side effects. However, they distrusted based on the results. They were wanting to know more facts about what it is, the effectiveness of the H1N1. Dread, although the Latino community knew about the risks of the vaccine, they felt in control. They really did. They thought that by washing their hands, by taking care of themselves, will not get infected. They will not actually get the swine flu. North Carolina, for example, feared that the children will get it, but not themselves. In more acculturated, the North Carolina teens worry about the vaccine itself, worry about the swine flu, but that doesn't motivate them actually to get the vaccine. In Miami, they thought that less than 10% will get infected with the vaccine, with the swine flu. In LA, the more acculturated Latinos, they dismiss completely H1N1, and they worry about the seasonal flu as a higher risk than the swine. Control, as I mentioned, they feel in control. They really feel, all of them felt in control that if actually they take preventing actions and they actually can work in home remedies, they will be able to prevent getting the swine flu vaccine. And the other part of benefits and fairness, actually the part of the result of that we were looking at, it is that for them, the risk really outweighs the benefits. The risk of taking the vaccine, and this is in general, in both for less acculturated and more acculturated. Even though they knew actually there could be a potential benefit, the risk of not knowing what the vaccine will do and not knowing and not trusting the government, as well as the support of doctors, will prevent them to take action. Based on that recommendation, based on the general findings of feeling that actually having control, feeling that the risk outweighs the benefits, we are recommending the following. It is one, it is really to talk to Hispanic doctors as trusted messengers, to actually to help them disseminate the message. Tell them that it is safe, tell them that it is risk-free, and for them to calm their fears. One of the things actually the next communication we need to do is lower their fears, increase their understanding, and eliminate any doubt. Integrate H1N1 and real stories. Let's put some drama. For acculturated and Latinos, they need to know that it is touching home. It's just not something that's happened to the general population and is not going to happen with them. They actually, part of the findings in the research we found was that they don't feel that actually they will get that they will get infected. It is not in the control. incorporate Hispanic facts on H1N1. A lot of the media talk about very general topics, but when we were talking with media, they were asking exactly what's happening in our community, what it is that it is this affecting the Latino community, what is affecting us. And then actually we need to continue, you know, conducting focus groups, because this is a very limited research at this moment, to be able to understand the different segments of the Hispanic population and build on community partnerships for engagement and activation. This is part of the limitations is a focus groups. We have a small sample size, and as Carlo mentioned, the Latino population, it is very diverse, and we need to be able to understand that. One thing that we'd like to actually further do is the quantitative research and look at, for example, cities and towns like Tijuana and San Diego, people living in Tijuana and actually working in San Diego, what it is, how is that cultural values, beliefs, and living in two worlds affecting them. For our next steps, really will be to develop message and products for each target audience, and also be able to create flexibility to localize those messages. So how is that we target someone in New York, or we target someone in Los Angeles, and then based on their cultural and anticultural level, and the socioeconomic and their background, the cultural background. Work with local media. We have to engage them and see them stories to actually take the ownership and be able to produce, you know, send the message. Work and give opportunity to our spokespersons to be able to send the message and disseminate it. And of course, leverage, again, the community-based organizations to help them not just disseminate the message, but actually get them the vaccination. And with this, actually, we're looking forward to continue our research and be able to provide some of the campaigns message for this Hispanic risk communication model.